This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Got Lamb wide open on the right side of the end zone. Ryan Flannoy, touchdown.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Coming up, Steelers Radio Network host Jerry Dulac. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Mark Schlereth in hour number one. We're about to hear from Jerry Dulac, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers as he has for the last few decades. Mike Tomlin has spoken and did in fact confirm that Aaron Rodgers has a fracture in his left wrist, and it doesn't require surgery, and did in fact confirm that Aaron Rodgers wants to play this week in Chicago, and he is inclined to let him do that. But he needs to see Rodgers be able to protect himself and have a pain threshold tolerance to allow him to play, because, as he said, he's got a bunch of a healthy collective that needs to win a football game. But I think if anybody understands that Aaron Rodgers wants to go into Soldier Field one last time and relive the good old days on behalf of his current team, which is still a first-place team entering Week 12, that's the guy. You know, Aaron Rodgers wants to say, I still own you one more time.
One last tour.
One last time, to use, I guess, the Hamilton phrase. And we will see how this plays out, and I get it. Although Chris, in the Overreaction Monday pod, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, not this past
you're
week.
You're like, they should sit Rodgers after they lost to the Chargers. You're like, they should sit Rodgers and see what Mason Rudolph's got.
Yeah, Rodgers are completely washed. But.
And I said that that's absurd. He's still the Rodgers neck up in a way that nobody else is, and on top of it, all the eggs are in the Rodgers basket. Trust me, as somebody who, you know, called a Rodgers Jets game and has been around that Jets organization in terms of, you know, paying attention to it for decades. When you put your eggs in the Rodgers basket, that's where they stay. That's where they stay. And it's not just him. It's anybody that you would bring in at the back end of a career. And, you know, I was just thinking, too, that, and again, Jerry Dulac's joining us. I don't know why I thought about this, but many times when I pop awake at 3 a.m, I start thinking about things I shouldn't, just so I could go right back to sleep. You know, it's been a long time since the Steelers had a quarterback that walked into the game better than yours. And if yours was an elite quarterback, they had a quarterback that was just as elite. And you better be on your P's and Q's, because they had a quarterback of an offense that could light you up. And there were times when the un-Steeler-like thing was Big Ben throwing it 45 times a game. Mm-hmm. And a guy who is, this, you know, hey, kids, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's the truth. When you're seeing Josh Allen run over people and being some big, huge dude that's tough to bring down, Big Ben was sort of like the Darnell Washington of quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Not 300 pounds. But he was a guy for whom the play began once he was hit. Yep. Most quarterbacks, the play is over once you're hit. The play began for Ben half the time once he was actually hit. And so it used to be the outlier. This is not Steelers football throwing it 40 times in a game. Right now, the outlier of Steelers football is doing what they're doing with Rodgers, doing what they did with Russ, doing what they've done, you know, to trade people. That's why they're not going to go to anything but Rodgers if he's healthy. And right now he's not. And it's interesting, like, if you take a look at the Steelers' schedule and you're looking at home for Buffalo, like, let's just put it this way. if he had gotten his wrist broken or fractured week 14 at Baltimore, and they win the game. Let's say they win the game, just like they did this week, right? And they've got a Monday nighter against Miami. Would there be an issue of starting him? Or just let's rest him up?
Yeah, it seems like an easy sit.
But the fact that this game's at Chicago?
That's one that Aaron's obviously had circled all season.
If you look at this schedule, you would have think, and given Rodgers a pen and say, schedule of five, you definitely want to start. At Jets, right? Okay.
Yeah. Minnesota, Green Bay. Oh,
versus Green Bay.
Chicago.
No, I mean, but I think, again, Minnesota, Green Bay, correct. At the Jets, I think he would have circled at Baltimore because he wants to be in this. He knows that he's in this mix, right? He might have circled Buffalo as well.
Maybe.
But again, like, neither here nor there. He's been there, done that with Minnesota. Honestly, I think I looked it up. Like, he's punked Minnesota more than any maybe more than Detroit, actually. And he punked them all in all that time. He might have, like, circled Baltimore, Buffalo. He definitely would have circled at Chicago. There's no doubt. If you gave him a pen and say the five games you want to start this year.
It was probably the first one he checked the schedule for to see, you know, when it was.
Where is Chicago?
Yeah.
There's a reason why Lovie Smith stepped to the podium when he became Bears coach and say, we're going to beat the Packers. And there's a reason why Ben Johnson, who doesn't strike me as, you know, like he's going to show up at Second City anytime soon for an open mic, made a joke at the Packers' expense when he took the Bears job. So, again, I'm just wondering if a lot of this has to do with Tomlin. He gets it. He gets it. Rodgers wants to be in Chicago, and if I'm a coach, I want to use that to my advantage as well. Why wouldn't I? All right, Rodgers, we need to win this game. What do you think? They're the ones who are taking balls away and winning games at the last second. That's their recipe for winning. How about we go up so far in front and we don't give them the ball? That's why we win this game. Because normally what they used to do back in the day is that, remember that Steelers-Bears game where it was in the snow and they're rolling Jerome Bettis downhill at Urlacher, and it was just like, yeah, man, let us swap some friggin' paint today. I don't know if that's what this is going to happen on Sunday. You know, we're still going five wide and we're going to try and beat you. Again, I understand why Tomlin would want to have Rodgers in this game and want to and understands.
That was 2005.
Remember that? I remember that one, man. Some NFL Films footage of that one. Big time. Just to give you the exact quote from Tomlin. I know he's working his tail off to be a component of this week. He and I talked yesterday. He expressed that directly. I'm of the mindset of supporting that, while at the same time I've got a healthy collective of guys as a team and as a unit to ready. Oh, baby. Week 12 on the line. Two first place teams, Steelers and Bears.
My own.
You put him playing at what percent?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I also don't know. I mean, you know, if I'm him, I'm just, you know, I'm popping the Advil, you know.
Yeah, put a little, you know, soft.
A little somber on it.
Put a little cast on there. Let's rock.
Yeah, let's go. A little soft cast on it.
Come on.
That's it. I think he plays. Man, I just think he'd rather saw that thing off than not play this game. How does that sound? Like pull a Ronnie Lott. Forget just the tip of a finger. How's the whole hand treating you, Doc? Moon River?
Moon River.
You see the whole fist?
A little flesh.
That's the way I feel about it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Tuesday. It's time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
Music's already begun.
Hey, everybody.
Excited.
How's it going?
We're good.
I'm good.
You just want me to get going?
Yeah. We're good.
Come on, ask me.
You know who's really good?
Who's really good?
Today?
Jordan. Well, obviously, TJ, you're doing fantastic. George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. They're the best wide receiver duo in the NFL.
I think Ja'Marr Chase, when he's active, and T. Higgins. It's tough to argue with that one, man. It's tough to argue with that.
Surpassed.
You think so?
I thought you would say Puka and Davante Adams.
Oh, there's Puka and Davante Adams as well. Thank you for the reminder. Yeah.
I had originally phrased this as surpassed Higgins and Chase, but then I thought about Puka and Davante. I don't know, man. George Pickens looked awesome. Jerry Jones said, hey, I haven't seen anybody, a wide receiver, play like that. And I'm like, Randy Moss did it in your face on Thanksgiving a long time ago.
One of the original 88 clubbers. Well, I mean, the original 88 clubbers, you know, we all know in the Hall of Fame of trolling Eagles fans at the draft. But come on, man. Okay. They had a great game. It's outstanding. It's wonderful. Let's do it against Philadelphia, and then we'll revisit. Put a pin in it. Right now, it's an overreaction. What else, Chris?
By the way, Chris, I think that is a very great reaction.
What do you think? Is that an overreaction or not?
I just said I think it's a great reaction. Like they are. You said they are.
You really do, or you're just being a honk?
I've never been accused of being that.
That's untrue. Well, Mr. Oh, the varsity plays tonight.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something else.
Okay.
No.
Do you think Mike Tomlin watching the game last night was like,
no,
probably should have kept that
again,
dude.
I'm gonna try and nail down Jerry Dulac on this. Any Steeler fan is just like, he was a headache and needed maybe a change of scenery.
It seems like he's still kind of a knucklehead, like based on some of the stuff he does during games.
The fact that he's doing the Antonio Brown celebration after Jameson Williams was flagged for it and he just did it again.
But then he also does just some amazing athletic feat that's just like, look at
He that. Almost, Odell Beckham, that one, he was clearly out of bounds.
I know, it's great. What else you got over there?
All right.
We're the best.
Nice.
Let's go to the other side. It's bad for the Raiders. Seems like they might clean house after the season.
One and done them? Is that what you're going to say? One
no,
and done
but I do
you
think.
Know what my
I,
answer
I,
to
I
that
do,
would be.
Well, I do think you kick Pete upstairs and keep him on the payroll.
He doesn't want to do that.
The Raiders should have went full rebuild at trade deadline, moved Max Crosby for a boatload of picks. It was right there.
The team they played last night wanted him. He didn't want to go.
Well, he's not the owner. You're the owner,
I understand that. And by the way, you know, could you imagine if I had if I was the owner of the Raiders and I said, give me the same haircut? I don't know, man. This team
is really bad.
We excoriated Jerry Jones for trading Micah Parsons, and I understand the Cowboys had more in the store than what you think the Raiders currently have. You don't trade people like Max Crosby. You just don't. You don't. You build around him. Their offensive line is the issue here. They can't get Genty running, and they can't keep Geno upright. That O line has been brutal.
Then why'd you take Genty in the first place? At sixth overall.
Only to come up with a game plan of play actioning and then you use him in the second half, but then that didn't work out, so you don't use him in the second half? I don't know.
You knew your O-line was bad. Why'd you take him anyway?
When you lose, I don't know, because he's really talented, and you can build around these guys. That's why. I'll just call this an overreaction. He didn't want to go, and you don't trade people like him. What else, Chris? Find a plan B. What else?
The Red Sweater. The Red Sweater? Yeah. I watched it in the AFC West last night. Watching the Chiefs. Chargers are back to charging, TJ. AFC West is only getting one playoff team.
That's not true. That's ridiculous.
Wait a second now.
That's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
No, because that means the AFC North gets two, or the AFC South gets two. Is that what you're saying?
Why not?
Okay, so the AFC South gets two, and that means the AFC East gets two. Then that would mean the Steelers and the Ravens make it. And then the AFC North get two. And only one from the West makes it. Overreaction.
If you watch the way the Chiefs and Chargers are playing,
I have
no confidence.
I get it. I understand you have no confidence. But it also shows you how crazy this league is right now. One week, the Steelers look terrible. After one week where they look great, Steelers look terrible against the Chargers after they beat the Colts. Right?
Yep.
And then the Steelers turn around, beat the Bengals, and the Chargers turn around and get blown out by Jacksonville. You know what I mean? Which just got come back on in a heartbreaking way by Houston. Then they turn around and punk the Chargers. So this is a week-to-week situation here that I'm not going to go blanket statement, AFC West getting only one playoff team. I say this is an overreaction and move on.
There's three good teams in the AFC, and the rest, it's like, who's the best of the mediocre?
Who are the three good teams in the AFC?
The Pats, Broncos, and Colts.
So you're calling the Bills mediocre?
I mean, did you watch them play against Miami?
I did, and then I watched them play against the Chiefs the week before, and I watched them play against the Bucks the week after.
So mediocre teams are up and down and roller coasters.
I don't think they're mediocre. I think they're better than most.
Their supposed best wide receiver can't show up to meetings and is, you know, kind of not good. They lost the locker room.
Wait for you to see my power rankings where I put the Ravens and just hear you howl.
Oh, man, speaking of mediocre.
Okay. All right. A defense that has been five games in a row giving 20 or fewer points up. A streak that not even your Patriots have been able to accomplish this year. And Derrick Henry running it in. And Zay Flowers being healthy. And Mark Andrews running it in. And Lamar Jackson. Come on, man. The Ravens aren't mediocre. The Ravens are coming on strong. And wait till they take on your Patriots on an eight-game win streak and see what everybody's going to be talking about them then.
What is their record?
5-5.
Mediocre. Speaking of, I saw this with my own two eyes at SoFi on Sunday. Sam Darnold keeps showing us who he really is in big games. We should believe him.
That's not true.
I mean, it is true. Has he won a big game before?
Yeah, when he was put on his on the shoulders, right?
When he was at USC?
No. He was last year. The Vikings beat the Packers, and they put him on his shoulders. And he came in, and he was, yeah.
True.
How'd that playoff game go in SoFi?
Not well.
TJ, only have the facts backing up your argument, really easy to make a case.
You know what? Unless you're a Patriot fan, then that whole who have we really beaten argument, that's not for us.
I've been very open to the fact that their schedule is pretty soft.
However, not for people to start talking about a 9-2 team that's lost to Vegas. Pittsburgh.
Why are we talking about the Patriots?
Because you're the king of, like, who have they really beaten? The guy's never really done anything.
He said earlier today.
You won at Miami. You beat Carolina at home. You won at Buffalo, which you called mediocre moments ago.
I don't understand why we're talking about the Patriots.
Then they won at New Orleans. Then they won at Tennessee. Then they beat Cleveland at home. They beat Atlanta at home. And then they finally just took on a first-place team in Tampa. First-place team since Buffalo.
No.
But it's good for you. Until you don't want to hear about it.
I don't think that's true at all, but okay. Again, we're talking about Sam Darnold.
Because when people are presented with facts.
I'm pushing back and saying...
Well, the Patriots have a better strength of victory than the Broncos. Why don't we talk about who the Broncos have beaten?
We could.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I think what we're ending up doing here
is
we're spinning our wheels in a league that is as wide open as we've seen in quite some time.
I'm trying to say that Sam Darnold doesn't play well in big games.
And I'm pointing out that I think that's an overreaction. He's done it well, and I understand what his reputation is. There's still more to go.
I'm trying to say Will in the Sky keeps on turning.
Interesting. What else?
Last one. Hot coaching spot. The New York Giants is going to be a great spot. Really curious to see who ends up there. But Jackson Dart shouldn't play again this season.
Ooh.
Give me my boy. Give me my boy, since this is one more.
One more. I did not know this.
I don't know why we needed that, but
it's because I like hearing my son's voice.
I know, we haven't heard that in a while.
Don't you live with him?
I don't. By the way, I don't disagree.
Wait a minute. You don't think he should play again?
I've seen enough.
Yeah, we've seen enough.
We know that he's good.
Enough, and I've also seen that he needs to tone it down with his run style.
How's
and
he going to learn that not playing?
One way to do that is to keep him safe.
Yep.
And by the way, while we're on the subject matter,
that's insane.
Do you know what?
That's insane.
Do you know what? Scataboo is done going to Raw.
Why was he at Raw last night?
I'm a New York Giants. I'm saying.
It was Sean Cena's last time with the Garden. You can't stop me from going there.
I say, Scataboo, love that you're wearing a Rangers sweater. Love that you're out and about.
Yeah.
Love that you're Cam Scataboo. Love that you're going to Raw. But don't participate.
Look, man,
spectate.
When Dirty Dom, who's the future GOAT of professional wrestling, is standing to you,
get out of here.
You got to eat what I'm saying? What do you want to do? That's the GOAT right there.
He's Dom Mysterio. Like, that's amazing.
For my young Giants, clearly only know one speed that on occasion can be dangerous to their health, I'm going to sit them down.
Judgment Day.
So I'm not discounting what you said.
6'7"?
I've seen enough. I've seen enough.
I don't know if you guys remember, but last year during an Arizona State game, I said to you guys, in 5 years, Scadaboo is either going to be a special teams nightmare or the Intercontinental Champion going into WrestleMania. And both things can be true.
How about he's all things?
Yeah, well, he's not a special teams nightmare. He's an offensive nightmare.
He's had his raw privileges revoked. No, I'm a New York Giant front office member.
Respectfully, no. You can't do that.
Okay.
It's John Cena's last time.
Next thing you know, he's going to have a folding chair in his hands and get out of here.
He should have had a kendo stick with him if he was smart.
Spectate and not participate?
No.
Good stuff. Overreaction Monday, the podcast. There's a podcast version every single Monday. It airs on ESPN2 at 4:30 Eastern during the football season. And of course, it's on our YouTube channel as well. We'll take a break. Jerry Dulac is on time, and he's heard us yelling and yelling about it all. It's not about suits. He doesn't want to hear it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Jerry Dulac, who's covered the Steelers forever and a day, is here on the program. Before we jump into the here and now, let me play the soundbite. I imagine, were you at the press conference with Tomlin earlier today?
Absolutely. Yes,
okay, which is why you're at the Steelers facility right now. This was Mike Tomlin on Aaron Rodgers' wrist and his readiness for maybe this week even.
Aaron's got a fracture in his wrist. It does not require surgery. Really, it's just about bracing it and securing it for his comfort and safety. And then it's about how functional he is. And so we don't have the answers to that, as we stand here today. But certainly I would imagine we're going to get some clarity as we push through the week. I think his experience really kind of aids in that. He's the type of guy and has the type of profile that doesn't require a lot of physical work and an effort to be ready to play. And again, as I mentioned, the variables are stabilizing it and making sure that he's safe and he can protect himself, brace himself as he falls, et cetera. Pain tolerance, but that doesn't seem to be an issue with Aaron. He wanted to go back in the game on Sunday. And then lastly, obviously, how effective he can be.
All right, I'll give you the floor, Jerry. What's your two cents on what you heard and what you know and what you can put on the table for us here?
Well, Rich, I think they're going to probably be overly cautious because there's a lot of variables there that you heard Mike Tomlin just list. And, you know, one of them is functionality. How good can he function? You know, what is it going to be like taking snaps, even though the vast majority of time he's in a shotgun? The pain issue is not going to be a factor at all for him. But then it becomes, okay, you know, a lot with some handoffs. Do you become a right-handed handoff guy, which a lot of times he does not on play action. And then, you know, and then it just becomes, you know, the safety issue, too. What happens, you know, he hurt it the other day when he fell. And so if that happens again, now all of a sudden the injury's a little bit worse. So I'm going to guess, based on all that, that he is not going to play. I'm certainly not ruling it out. But they also know they're comfortable that if Mason Rudolph has to play, it'd be different if it was just Will Howard, for example, the rookie who just came off IR. But knowing what Mason Rudolph is capable of doing and knowing the potential risk of maybe a greater injury, that injury does not, it's a fracture, but it does not need surgery. That doesn't mean that another hit or another bad fall won't cause that to not be the case. So that's going to be my guess, but I'm not going to rule them out either, only because they haven't, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, if we're talking ifs and variables, Jerry, if this was, say, the Week 15 game home for Miami or a Week 17 game at Cleveland, right? I would hear you saying, out of abundance of caution, let's not make it any worse. But this is Chicago, man. This is the home of the Bears. This is where he once told the fans, I own you. And, you know,
which he does,
which, by the way, I'm not disputing. I didn't stutter either. Right. But this has to mean this is Rodgers, no doubt, pushing. He's got to be pushing. Didn't Tomlin even admit that he did bring this up, like he wants to play this weekend, to Tomlin? Jerry?
Yes, he did. And I'm sure he does. And he wanted to go back in the game on Sunday, according to Mike Tomlin. Of course, they didn't, because at that time they didn't know the extent of his injury. They didn't want to make it worse because they didn't know what they were dealing with. That's why they didn't put him back in. But yes, he, you know, he wants to play against the Bears. He's beaten them 24 times in his career. That's more than any other team that he has beaten in his 21 years. And there's no active quarterback that has beaten one team more than the other, than what Aaron Rodgers has with the Bears. I think the next closest, I think Joe Flacco has beaten the Bengals, the old Bengals, like 24 times, or the Browns, 18. But nobody has owned one team among active quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers has owned the Bears.
Right, and you know he wants to play the Bears because he in Chicago, because he doesn't know when he's going to ever get that opportunity again, schedule-wise. You just it may not. This is his one shot, so... That is definitely part of this, Jerry. There's no denying it.
Yeah,
this week
I agree.
Is going to be part of the dynamic.
And I think too, Rich, what could happen is this is very real as well, is that he will start the game and they'll see how it is going. You know, how is he performing? Is it a problem? In terms of again, functionality, and how effective he can be, and then, you know, they can weigh it that way going forward. But this is a different Bears team too, as you know, Rich. I mean, they're 7-3. They've won 7 of the last 8 games. The offense is really clicking with Ben Johnson. And so they'll want to see how effective Aaron Rodgers can be, because, I don't think this is going to be 34-31, but I think they're going to have to score some points against the Bears.
Well, and that's been an issue consistently this year, right? Like, let's remove the whole Rodgers health aspect of this week out. And what's your assessment of the offense so far? What has ailed it, and what is fixable in your estimation, Jerry?
Well, one of the things that's ailed them, Rich, is their third down conversion rate. You know, you look at the previous 6 quarters with Aaron Rodgers, they converted 4 of 18 third downs. And then Mason Rudolph comes in the second half, he converts 5 of 6, including 3 of 3rd and 11 or longer. And so the consistency, the rhythm on offense has been missing. There's been no flow to the offense. Oh, there have been examples of it, no question. But I think the overall consistency of what they want to do and what they've been able to do has been the biggest thing holding them back. You know, the 340 yards they had against the Bengals, were the most they had in 3 games. And it's just been too up and down offensively. Aaron Rodgers has been very good. You know, witness the 19 touchdowns. Very few interceptions, very few turnovers, of course. And yet their rhythm and flow the last 3 games, or certainly their last 10 quarters with Aaron Rodgers, hasn't been what they would like, despite the fact I know he threw 4 touchdowns against the Indianapolis Colts, but that was somewhat the byproduct of a short field and all the takeaways that they had. But nonetheless, he made them pay for it. But the offense that game, 225 yards. A week later, 221 yards. Rich, that's the lowest two-game, second lowest two-game total they've had since 2019. That goes back to when Randy Fittner was the coordinator. So they have struggled offensively.
Well, what's the mood there in that town, Jerry? Because the up and down play since the 4-1 start only lends credence to any concerns that this season is going to end similar to the way the last several seasons have ended, either short of the playoffs. I mean, making the playoffs and short of a playoff win, Jerry. I mean, right. I mean, the Ravens are right there. They haven't played the Steelers yet. They've won 4 in a row. The whole world thinks they're going to run the Steelers down. And I know Tomlin doesn't care what the whole world thinks, but what the world of Pittsburgh, what's the mood there right now?
Yeah, Rich, I think there's a lot of trepidation there. You know, that 3.5-game lead that the Steelers had on the Ravens is all but gone. And if Mason Rudolph doesn't come in the second half and preserve that victory, and I know they got 2 defensive touchdowns as well, then all of a sudden they're tied with the Ravens at this point. 2 more games against the Ravens. They have Buffalo after the Bears. They still have to go to Detroit. And you look at the, 4 of the last 6 years in December, they've had 3-game losing streaks. Now, I know it was a bit of an extreme anomaly last year when they played the 3 best teams in 11 days in December. But that has been a repeated pattern for them. And these fans, the people around town, they know it. And that's why, there is a lot of trepidation about what's going to happen. When they were 4-1, I don't think people were making their Super Bowl reservations. And then, again, they lose Sunday. That's to the Bengals. That was 4 of their last 5. They would have lost. So, it would have been an early season, quote, decline for them. And I don't think anybody's doing cartwheels yet about where the Steelers are headed. And as you mentioned, Rich, their quick playoff exits, they haven't won. They've lost their last 5 playoff games. Mike Tomlin's had 8 1-and-dones. That's 1 shy of Marty Schottenheimer, who has the record of 9. And they certainly don't want to see that happen again. They get there, but they don't do anything with it.
Man who's covered the Steelers for a long time, Jerry Dulac, here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more things for you before I let you go on with your Tuesday. In the building, what people might be saying about Jalen Ramsey getting ejected from a game for an offense that I don't think anybody begrudges him now that we know he had Jamar Chase's spittle in his face. And anybody maybe calling the league up saying, let's not fine Jalen. I mean, you ejected him, but this was justified, his actions?
Yeah. Jerry? Yeah, Rich, that's going to be a tough line to walk because he did punch him. But again, was it justified? Okay. You go back to Jalen Carter and Dak Prescott, when we know what happened in that opening game of the season before they even started playing, and Dak Prescott didn't react that way. I'm not, and like Mike Tomlin said today when he was asked about it, he said he has no message for somebody how to react when he's spit upon. Yeah, so, right.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, it is. And we know that Jalen Ramsey plays with an attitude. And the funny thing, Rich, is I'm watching the two in the binoculars. They weren't barking at each other. They were just kind of standing there. And then Jalen Ramsey reacts the way he does. And I go, oh, what is he doing? How stupid is that? But yet, at that point in time, you didn't know what happened. And actually, I think they should give Jamar Chase 2-game suspension, 1 for spitting, 1 for lying.
Interesting. Well, I mean, 1 for lying to the press?
How dare
he lie to the press? Now, if he lied to the if he lied to the NFL, now I understand that's a totally different.
Imagine that a player lying to the press. I've never seen that happen.
That's
in
a one-game suspension on the spot. And then last thing for you, Jerry. How do the Steelers view George Pickens balling out the way that he is? And I have a follow-up question for you on this front. How do they view
well,
that?
One, probably not surprising, but because they know he's an ultra talented player.
Right.
He has a quarterback. He's playing with a quarterback who, still can spin it and be very productive with Dak Prescott. So none of that is a surprise, nor should it be a surprise. But that isn't the reason why they got rid of him.
So why is it? Let's get down to some brass tacks because.
He was disruptive in the locker room, Rich. Late for meetings, late for games. I was told that his teammates were fed up with it. You know, it's only going to be a matter of time probably before the same happens in Dallas, if it hasn't already. But that's the biggest reason they did it. Now, would have it looked wonderful to have that tandem with DK Metcalf? Yeah. Absolutely. But it's part of the reason why they brought in DK Metcalf, because they knew they were going to move on from George Pickens.
Well, I mean, he's late for games, meaning what? Like he needed to be there before an hour before?
Routinely. Whatever time Richie was supposed to show up, and I don't know what that is,
right.
He was always late. And I will give you a quick example. Do you remember the incident last year where the television reporter reported that he was going to play, would be on limited snaps? They got the information from Mike Tomlin. And the reason why that misinformation was transmitted to I believe, Tracy Wolfson, if I'm not mistaken, is because that's what Mike Tomlin knew without talking to George Pickens, because he didn't show up on time. He wasn't there. And when he reported to the stadium late, they had to take him by ambulance with a police escort to the hospital to have a quick MRI or X-ray. And when he came back, they said he can't play. So that was an example right there of him showing up late and then it becoming a little bit of embarrassing for Mike Tomlin, you know, giving some misinformation to the TV reporter 90 minutes before the game.
So it looks like none of that's happening in Dallas, or there. I mean, he did. Were they like nodding their heads, seeing him standing next to CeeDee Lamb before the game, and then getting flagged hugging the goalpost? Jerry, is
right?
That what you're saying?
And I didn't hear why he sat down the opening series,
right?
But I'm sure it was probably for some no-no, which I'm sure, knowing George, is probably occurring in Dallas.
Jerry, I appreciate the time. What are you binge watching now? What are you binge watching now?
Rich, Diplomats run its course. Finished season 3.
Good job.
And now Landman is back, and I saw your guest the other day, which I enjoyed. And I'm Tulsa King and Landman.
You saw Ali Lauder here, Jerry, huh? You saw her?
I mean, your litany of guests. I mean, I'm so far down the totem pole, it doesn't even matter.
Come on now, man. But I guess I need to be fair and balanced, because she was wearing a green dress because she's an Eagles fan. So I got both sides of the state now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wore some gray today, I think, to be reflective of the weather, not necessarily an NFL team.
Jerry Dulac, everybody here. You're the best, man. Amazing. Thanks for making us smarter and taking some time.
All right, Rich.
You got it. Say hi to Bert and the rest
Always
of the Steelers for me, man. There you go. There's Jerry Dulac, everybody.
When I leave.
Awesome. There he goes. I know exactly that room. I've done Zooms, I think, into this show from that room. When I was doing the Steelers Christmas Eve game.
That's right.
Out there.
Yeah, we did shows once there, but weren't we in the radio booth, I believe?
Yes, with when Manganiello came by.
Manganiello stopped by.
That's right.
Yeah. Radio only.
That's right.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's right.
Great stadium.
It was Heinz Field then.
It was.
They had ketchup bottles hanging all over the place.
Where are those?
I think they're back.
Are they back?
I believe that they're back.
They might be back.
Yeah. Remember, there was a hue and cry about what are you going to do with the ketchup bottles?
I mean,
they'd go to storage somewhere.
I know. All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kyle Brandt has something to say about the Bears, I think, when we come back in hour 3.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. Shopify.com/network.
Sonos, everybody, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Maybe you're listening to us with a Sonos speaker. If you are, it sounds like I'm sounds sitting good. Next to you, don't you?
Don't I love you know? My Sonos, man.
It's
so good.
The best we have it in our house. Chris uses it in his.
I'm the only one that doesn't have Sonos.
Yeah, well, you might be.
And you're the one who stays in the house the most.
You should have like a whole.
Get some of that.
Yeah,
beautiful design, sound. Incredible sound, effortless control means you can focus on what matters most, enjoying your time or enjoying the sports season or enjoying the season of giving. I love Sonos. You will as well. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with incredible sound. Explore Sonos speakers, soundbars, and more at Sonos.com. Back here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Christopher.
Oh, yes,
you don't great. Think Christian McCaffrey is on a Hall of Fame path, or you think he...
No, you guys said right now.
So I said already, and you agreed. So I was like,
I kind of think he's there.
Yeah. Right now?
Yeah.
I have some stats.
Stop it.
Hold on a second.
He is.
If Del Tufo agrees with me, I need to come up with stats.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody back off, Mike.
He's a great player already.
Mike, that's all it.
Hang on. Oh, here we go. Most games with three or more scrimmage touchdowns against a single opponent. He's one behind LaDainian Tomlinson all-time against the Broncos. He just had his third one against the Cardinals, tied with Emmitt Smith against the Cardinals, too.
Yeah.
And Emmitt played for them. At the end. He just had his fourth career game with two or more rushing touchdowns and one or more receiving. Tied for third most such games in NFL history behind Marshall and Jim Brown. He's one behind them.
Yeah.
McCaffrey, fourth career season with five or more rushing touchdowns and five or more receiving touchdowns. That's the most ever. He broke a tie with Marshall this year. Fifth season with five or more receiving touchdowns. No other running back in NFL history is more than three.
Come on.
I understand. He was injury prone.
He's only played four full seasons. This would be his fifth if he finishes it.
Gale Sayers is in the Hall of Fame. TD's in the Hall of Fame. Wow. They didn't have longevity. He's had longevity. He just... hasn't had longevity consecutively enough. And I understand that pushback.
Can I have Christian McCaffrey go on a Super Bowl playoff run like TD did?
To win it all?
Yeah.
Remember what he did in the Super Bowl? He was incredible, even though he did fumble early on in that game.
Just for reference, Jonathan Taylor has more yards rushing in three less seasons.
He has 900.
Matt Taylor.
He has nine games of 100 or more scrimmage yards this year. No other player has more than seven.
And McCaffrey does have 600 catches.
Since joining San Francisco, he's had three games with three scrimmage touchdowns or more. They have all come against Arizona.
I want to see him have a... Remember a few years ago, we were talking about Derrick Henry, and I'm like, not yet. Since then, Derrick Henry rattled off three or four pretty amazing seasons.
He's done enough in the yet.
Yes, that's what I mean. So I want to see Christian McCaffrey. He's 29. I want to see him do what Derrick Henry has done in his early 30s. I want him to rattle off three more spectacular seasons. And then, you know, then he can get in and win a ring.
But he's already done stuff in terms of multi-purpose on the air, on the ground, in the air, than Marshall. Who is, without a question, the standard.
And what does Marshall have?
A ring.
MVP.
I got it.
Ring.
Yeah.
Well, Marshall did it in a time where it wasn't just an automatically a quarterback award either.
No. Yeah.
And it wasn't we're throwing the ball
to the running,
to the running backs and we're throwing the ball over the yard like it is kind of now. So, I just want to see a little bit more. I need like three more years of McCaffrey doing this.
I understand, but you can also agree he already has metrics.
To get in.
For all-time greatness over people.
I also understand.
Over people who have the busts in the ring.
Sure. I also understand that I am a pretty strict bouncer of the Hall of Fame entrance. Velvet ropes.
Mm.
More than most. DJ. And so I need to see more.
Speaking of bouncers, Big Dom was at Raw last night, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you know how to talk about a no contest wrestling.
We won't be talking about Big Dom.
Why not? Oh, just because he's an Eagle? Come on, man.
A Rams fan and a Cowboys fan have nothing positive to say about the Eagles.
Big Dom was there with Cooper DeJean. Come on now.
Couple of exciting
whites, taking care of his kid.
We'll be talking about Scataboo without question.
Big Dom once said he would come on this program. Should I see if he'll take me up on it?
Big Dom.
Were we all intoxicated at the Kelsey party when that was said? Party. Yeah, okay.
I don't think he was intoxicated. I don't think that guy ever loses his he's
marbles not in
any way.
Position where he
no.
We can. Yeah.
But he said he would come on.
For what? Get Big Dom.
I was intoxicated.
Yeah, I was too.
You were.
And when and Jake, who I got a photo for with, was also.
That was wild.
That party was great.
That party was great. Seeing an incredibly highly pregnant Kylie Kelsey. Being talked to by.
There it is. Oh, look at that photo.
Talked to is one of Flavor Flav.
Favorite Flav was there.
Holding Kylie for
wearing
a minute.
The clock.
And she's like leaning over to hear what he has to say. Yeah. But she can't get close enough because she was ready to roll. Honestly.
It's a fun time.
Rich, you look a little happy.
I was. It's Big Dom. I think that's his default. And at that, we took that pic. I'm like, of all the people in here that I want to take a selfie with,
Dom?
It's you.
That's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
Of all the people, I didn't get invited to this party, but I've been to the party the year before, and there were a lot of luminaries there. And you mean to tell me if those people, same people were at the party you were at,
yes.
Dom would be the guy?
Now, let me ask you this question.
Yes, because he's an Eagle.
No,
that's
I'll
why.
I'll ask you this question.
I respect that you hate the Eagles so much.
Yeah.
And I don't hate much.
That's like, I understand.
He hates
Tom Pelfrey of
also
of a Giant Eagles. Fandom.
I get it.
You know, of Task. He said, I refuse to put on the gear.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.